You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch Jason Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And of course, every Wednesday with Wattage Wednesday on Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town. And joining us on the program, Ryan Melton. He's a Democratic candidate for the U.S. House in Iowa for the 4th Congressional District. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite.
So I want to get a little background because we hear what's going on in North Dakota. We all see this firsthand. We just had a Supreme Court hearing on Monday for some landowners' concerns and the surveying side of this and the ability to go on to private property and survey on something that's really not a common carrier status issue. This is a for-profit business trying to turn a profit and grab low-hanging fruit financially, Q45 credits, but wanted to get the take of what's going on in Iowa firsthand. What are you seeing on the ground?
A lot of opposition to these carbon capture pipelines. And it's an issue that's really brought together a lot of disparate groups that otherwise wouldn't find common cause. So, you know, if you get all these different groups into a room, they'll give you different reasons why they're opposed. Most would agree that the eminent domain abuse is a big problem. But you have some that are concerned about public health, the risk to public safety. You have some that are concerned about the water use impact. You have some that are really concerned about the lack of transparency from these pipelines, especially Summit. I haven't seen on the campaign trail a single person that's been in favor of them. And definitely polling here in Iowa, at least the Des Moines Register poll that was done earlier in the year showed that roughly 80% of those polled in the state are opposed to these pipelines as well.
Now, I believe you wrote an editorial in a paper. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Is that where? Yeah. Okay. That's where I think I became accustomed to you and your cause down there. Are you being paid by a lobbyist group? Do you have donors that are giving you money specifically to, you know, go and, you know, campaign against this pipeline? Talk to me about how your relationship is with that.
Yeah, not at all. So I would encourage anyone to look me up on FEC, look up my FEC filings, look me up on Open Secrets. Compared to my opponent, Randy Feenstra, the incumbent in Congress, I reject corporate PAC money. He takes hundreds of thousands in corporate PAC money easy. No one's funding coffers for me to go out and speak out against these pipelines. Before anyone knew who I was. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to ask you, what made you come out and speak out against it? Was it the people that, you know, you when you're out campaigning, this was such an issue? Is this something morally you're against? It's just, you know, I'm curious what made you come out against it, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say all the above. It definitely started as an eminent domain concern. I thought it was an absolutely unjustifiable use of eminent domain in the fact that so many moneyed interests in our state, when I first campaigned against these back in early 22, were, you know, lockstep in favor of these. It just blew my mind that I'd argue that landowner rights, personal property rights, I mean, those are the most basic American values. And the fact that so many were willing to just throw them out the window for a quick buck was really alarming to me. So the eminent domain abuse piece was the first one. But then when you really dig into it, there are a wide variety of other concerns that I have. Definitely the public safety element. If you look at the fracture in Mississippi that endangered so many recently, the fact that in our state, every single one of our 99 counties is dealing with drought at some level. So we're already dealing with a lot of concerns with water quality and availability. These pipelines would require hundreds of millions of gallons more of our water. I go on and on. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why. The other thing, too, is I think it's a big waste of taxpayer money. You know, the goal of that 45Q federal tax credit program is to move us in the direction of or away from the status quo to next gen renewable energy. And I think that laying these pipelines in our state would more firmly entrench us and our producers into a status quo that is clearly not working for us.
We're talking with Ryan Melton, Democratic candidate for the U.S. House in Iowa's 4th Congressional District. You know, as far as Summit Carbon Solutions, Ryan, there's a history that goes back there with the state of Iowa. Can you give us a little background on the company itself? Because every state's a little bit different. And the impetus says it starts in Iowa and makes its way through South Dakota and Minnesota and gets to North Dakota. We're the end user. We're the destination. So we're looking at a 24-inch pipe. We're looking at large infrastructure, not the collector systems. So there's a little bit of a nuance difference from Iowa to North Dakota and what that means for the public safety side of things and the landowner's side of things. Because you're right. For me, it comes down to public safety and it comes down to landowner rights. Give us a little background on Summit and their relationship in Iowa prior to this pipeline.
Yeah, so Summit is run by a guy named Bruce Rastetter. And I don't know how big of a name that is up in the Dakotas, but here in Iowa, he's arguably the most influential mover and shaker when it comes to Iowa politics. He's donated thousands upon thousands of dollars to my opponent, to our governor. And so that really, if you were to talk to an Iowan about these pipelines, and particularly about Summit, Bruce Rastetter is the first name that would come up. And so that's maybe a unique Iowa piece of this puzzle. What's really interesting here is that he has given my opponent, the governor, so much money that neither of them have been able to come out and robustly stand against these pipelines. You know, they'll say, you know, kind of a wishy-washy piece about, oh, I don't know about that eminent domain. But they have not been solidly on the record against these pipelines. And I think primarily it's because they don't want to make Bruce Rastetter angry, because Rastetter has been investing in those relationships for years. So for example, you know, my opponent, if you look at his Twitter and you just type in the word carbon, you search for the word carbon on his Twitter, all the way through 2021, he was very open and public in his support for these pipelines and wrote an op-ed about it in the paper here in December 2021. When I filed with the FEC in January of 2022 and started campaigning against them right away, he went silent on them. And now what he's doing and what like Chuck Grassley are doing here in the state is they're punting this by saying, oh, this is a state issue, so I don't have to talk about it. But obviously we know that's not true, because these 45Q federal tax credits are driving these companies to come to our states and to try to lay these pipelines. So, but I'd say the unique Iowa angle is Bruce Rastetter and the amount of money he's pumped into our state and the amount of influence he has over the whole deal.
Ryan, we're coming up against a break, but you mentioned something about the local control side of things. And how does politics work in the state of Iowa? Because in North Dakota, we've got a legislature that when they like to deal with things, they deal with things. And if it's something they don't want to deal with, then they fall back to the, well, you know, that's local control. Is that kind of how it works in Iowa as well?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of interesting ways you can approach that. So at the county level, so Story County, where I live, that's where Iowa State University is, and another county out west tried to establish setback ordinances for these pipelines. They were taken to court by Summit, and Summit won. And now we're waiting for the federal pipeline, PHMSA, that agency to come through with their regulations in 2024. But there is another county, Kossuth County in north central Iowa, near the Minnesota border. Even after that lawsuit succeeded, they set their own setback ordinances as well, essentially in protest of these pipelines. At the state legislative level, it's a bicameral here in Iowa. There's actually a bill introduced in the state house to require that these pipelines had to get 90% voluntary easement before eminent domain could be used for these pipelines. Actually passed the House, but died in the Senate. And a lot of the reason for that is again, Rastetter and his moneyed interests are in the Senate, then they block the bill. That bill was introduced by, discussing the nonpartisan nature of this, was introduced by a Republican and had massive bipartisan support on the state House side before it died in the Senate.
We're talking with Ryan Melton, Democrat candidate, U.S. House, Iowa, 4th Congressional District. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Jason Spies from Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. More when we come back.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks, the Energy Exposition. The Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from the Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. We're talking with Ryan Melton, a Democratic candidate for the U.S. House in Iowa's 4th Congressional District. And we're talking a little bit about the eminent domain. And Jason, how frightening is it that you've got landowners, county commissions, local control, all being superseded by a for-profit entity?
What I find very interesting about this, and this might be the real bright spot in this whole pipeline, is I truly believe people want to broker peace. I believe that really everybody does want to come together. And that's kind of why I went on my little tirade earlier, that Summit really needs to examine who the leadership is in North Dakota and who they're in bed with, because everybody that I talk to seems to be a pretty civil-minded person. Now, Ryan Melton comes from the Democratic side of the aisle, and I swear to God, Steve, he sounded like a Republican earlier, standing up for eminent domain, going against these 45Q credits, trying to reduce. I mean, next thing you know, I thought he was going to go against Obamacare. I mean, my goodness here. So
now Ryan, if he's offending you, I apologize.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
I do. But, well, remember, but in all honesty, when you were, I was going to say, in all honesty, when you were listing the reasons why you organically came out and wrote an op-ed against this pipeline, that really spoke volumes to me about really, in North Dakota, we've got a company that's based, or an organization that's funded by the Sierra Club, from my understanding, for the most part, is the Dakota Resource Council. They're taking basically the lead to help the landowners because the state is using the landowners' money against them. Talk to me about, is this bringing people together in Iowa? Are you seeing people come across the aisles and being like, hey, man, we got to work together on this? Or is it polarizing people down there?
No, it's bringing people together without a question. So down here in Iowa, so on the left, I'd say, you have folks like Iowa Food and Water, the Sierra Club, the Bold Alliance, that have been galvanizing people in a nonpartisan way to fight these pipelines. So the Iowa Utilities Board, which is the state entity that decides whether these companies get eminent domain, so they had their first, hearings a few months back in Fort Dodge, Iowa, and there were landowners from all political affiliations there. I was there, along with the entities that I mentioned. And when we get together in a room, I think there's a common understanding that we agree to civilly disagree, but put aside our political differences for this common cause, because we view it as such a big issue. And so, I mean, I personally have been at numerous Iowa Utilities Board hearings with Republican, independent, libertarian, and Democratic landowners who are going to be impacted by these pipelines. And the vibes are good, so to speak. You know, there's not kind of a holding your nose. Like, we are in common cause. And I think everyone is just grateful for each other. We know we come from different backgrounds. There are certain angles we're entering this conversation that are maybe different from theirs. But at the end of the day, there's a feeling of unity around this. And I think the fact that, you know, these companies, early 2022, when I first campaigned against them, you know, people told me it was a fool's errand. There was just too much money behind these pipelines, but it was the right thing to do. So we kept campaigning against them. The fact now that these companies are kind of back on their heels a bit, it's really boosting the confidence of everyone on the ground, amplifying that unity. So no, 100% bringing people together across the aisle.
You know, one of the things that, you know, going back to Jason's point with the unity side of things, and I've always said this, you know, there's some watershed moments. for example, in North Dakota, anytime that the Farmers Union and Farm Bureau are on the same page, pay attention or run. It's a big deal. You need to pay attention to it. Are you finding that as well? Because one of the things that didn't happen, we didn't get a lot of press, local press, mainstream media press. Nobody paid attention to it. And was that the case in Iowa? How did this filter up from a groundswell? Because this really has turned into a groundswell movement, one of those watershed moments.
I've got to say, I think people were paying attention to it pretty early. So I filed my paperwork for my first campaign January of 2022. And back then, if you were to go through local Iowa newspapers in Northwest Iowa, there's a lot of coverage about it. The central point of focus that really drove a lot of attention were these public hearings that Summit and these companies held for people in the community, the information gathering and dissemination sessions. And it was from those sessions that a lot of the coverage first started, where a lot of people were leaving these sessions feeling like these companies were not being transparent, were not being neighborly, so to speak, were not being good citizens of the community. So actually here in Iowa, you know, at least since I started to pay attention to it, late 21, early 22, there's been a pretty decent amount of press and attention around it. You know, even today, if you look at small town newspapers that have even a very small circulation, the smallest of newspapers in my congressional district, you'll still see columns, op-eds about carbon capture. I'd argue it's got to be one of the top three issues.
Ryan, we're up against a hard break. If we can hold you over the top of the hour, this is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bachman with Jason Spies from The Crude Life, Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on Super Talk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition, the Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bach, along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Also, Ryan Melton, Democratic candidate, U.S. House, Iowa's 4th Congressional District, joining us. We're talking a little bit about the Iowa Utilities Board, Iowa's version of our Public Utilities Commission. Don't forget, Thursday, 2 p.m., they're having a hearing with Summit and the interveners, of which Burley County, Emmons County, the city of Bismarck, also an intervener there, will have an opportunity to speak with their legal representation, and Summit will have rebuttal time as well. But it got me thinking, Jason, you know, with the Iowa Utilities Board, the Public Service Commission here, the PSC in North Dakota, you know, the difference I see is we in North Dakota have a political agenda and taxpayer dollars going in to promote that agenda here in North Dakota. I'm not seeing that, Jason, in some of these other states.
I'm very confused on the public relations, actually, Steve, because before we, you know, had Ryan Melton on as our guest, I kind of talked about how there's this kind of this weird connection of coal and this pipeline. Like we gotta save coal, so we gotta get this pipeline through. And I thought it was coming from ethanol. It was corn carbon, not coal carbon. And so, you know, I think, okay, that's kind of a weird public relations snafu, actually, where the right hand literally doesn't know what the left leg is doing on this one. And then we've talked about down in Iowa, they don't have any problem mentioning the word, I think it was pipeline down there, but up here they don't mention it. And so they have all these different kind of ad campaigns going on in different areas. What are you seeing down there? Are you seeing that other states are confused at any sort of presentation, Ryan, or are people just focused on their local and they're not really focused on what's happening in the other states?
Well, I'd say, you know, for those that are plugged in on the issue down here in Iowa, they're paying attention to what's happening in the Dakotas. I know that, not living in the Dakotas, I'm not as familiar with the nuance up there. So forgive me if I misstate something. But, you know, when the I assume the equivalence of the Iowa Utilities Board that approve or deny eminent domain requests, when they gave pushback to Summit up in North Dakota and South Dakota before our IUB started their hearings for Summit's request, that got a lot of traction down here. A lot of people are like, whoa, well, look what's happening in the Dakotas. And so I think part of the reason why is because of the proximity of those decisions to when the IUB hearings for Summit began. So we're certainly paying attention. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, one of the questions that came up during the IUB hearings for Summit is, hey, you know, if these pipelines don't go through in North Dakota and South Dakota, is this proceeding even relevant? There was an ask from the lawyers representing the landowners to stay, to suspend the IUB hearings in Iowa because of the uncertainty in North Dakota, South Dakota. The IUB board declined that request, though. But without a doubt, I mean, Iowans that are plugged into the issue are paying attention to what's happening across the pipeline path in and outside of Iowa.
One more question I have before I'll hand it off to Steve. We mentioned the, you know, Public Service Commission. We've mentioned the Iowa Utilities Board, I believe is what it's called.
Yep.
And you know, up in North Dakota, Julie Fedorchak, she actually, I believe, owns the land where the terminus is. So the pore space underneath and the cavity. So she's recused herself from the proceedings, Julie Fedorchak, Public Service Commissioner. And so when I kind of take a look at that, you know, that was a very correct thing for her to do. And, you know, how she ended up with whatever is a whole different deal. But we have a Department of Commerce that really is very active on this pipeline. Do you have another department within your government that's actively managing this pipeline at all beyond
much a public entity through the state government? What you're seeing here are the various ag lobby groups. So for example, those acting on behalf of renewable fuels, primarily ethanol, the Iowa Corn Growers Association. I mean, there are the ag lobby groups that are lining up to start their push in support of these pipelines. You mentioned coal. Here in Iowa, it's definitely ethanol. All day, every day is the justification for these pipelines to keep the ethanol footprint that we have alive and well. And the main push is that if these pipelines don't go through, the ethanol industry here in our state will collapse. That's the number one justification that those in support of these pipelines are using. There's a secondary argument for the job creation that would happen, although that was a more robust narrative earlier on that's kind of fell apart since then, primarily because a lot of the jobs that would be created by these pipelines would be pretty much out-of-state pipeliners that would come in temporarily. And so that's kind of fallen apart as a narrative. So it pretty much is, you know, all the eggs are in the save ethanol basket right now on the other side.
We're talking with Ryan Melton, Democratic candidate, U.S. House in Iowa for the 4th Congressional District. We've got another hearing coming up, Public Service Commission, on Thursday at 2 p.m. What are the next steps going on in Iowa? Where are you at in the process in the state of Iowa as this works through your Iowa Utilities Board, as it works through the courts? Where are things at as far as next steps going on in Iowa?
Yeah, I'd say the two main things right now, the Iowa Utilities Board hearings are now done, but a decision hasn't been made yet by that board. So we're all just awaiting what the IUB decides. That's number one, which again, I don't even know how you make a decision as a board when PHMSA hasn't made their decision yet as far as regulatory guidance, when you have all the uncertainty in the Dakotas. So we're waiting for IUB. And then the other piece that we're remaining interested in is the Kossuth County lawsuit that came after Story. And I think it was Shelby County out in West Iowa failed in their lawsuit for the setback ordinances against Summit. I'd say those are the two big things. And then I'd say the third thing is the federal guidance from PHMSA, just waiting to see mid-2024 what their findings are as well. Other than that, there hasn't been anything on the schedule as far as I'm aware of around any other hearings in front of the IUB for additional requests for eminent domain at this time. So kind of a little bit of a waiting period until next steps start to roll out.
As far as landowner groups and different groups that are organized against these carbon sequestration pipelines, where are they at? Is that an ongoing process, continuing meetings, continuing conversations? Because right now in North Dakota, we're kind of sitting at a little bit of a waiting game with what's going on. But it's not just the landowners. It's developers, landowners, some businesses, communities, all going to be affected. There's a lot going from the public safety side of things that counties and townships are waiting on to find out. You know, our big watershed moment's going to be this Thursday, and then waiting on that decision from the Public Service Commission. Where are you at as far as the organization of landowner groups down in Iowa?
Yeah, the big thing is, so if you look at the entities that have been the primary ones, the forefront of fighting these pipelines, Bold Alliance, Iowa Food and Water, Sierra Club, et cetera, they're continuing to do their best to keep this in the news. I'd have to imagine that Rastetter and Summit are pretty happy right now that there isn't anything big and active going on at the moment, because they're really hoping that things die down, that people get distracted and move on. So I know that those groups are still trying to have regular meetings, or still trying to have a presence on social media to keep the issue alive, especially considering, after Navigator pulled out in Iowa, Summit came out and said, well, that's not going to deter us. We look at that as an opportunity. So Summit's not going anywhere. And so I think in response to that, these activist groups have continued to remain as active as they can while we're waiting for next steps.
A lot going on, a little different perspective from what's going on in Iowa as opposed to what's going on here in North Dakota. Thank you for joining us, Ryan Melton, Democratic candidate, U.S. House, Iowa, 4th Congressional District. Thanks for joining us on Talk at the Town this morning.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you, Ryan Melton, Democratic candidate down in Iowa. What's going on with Summit Carbon Solutions' proposed CO2 pipeline as it's taking place in Iowa? We get the updates from Lori Hintz from Beck News each and every Monday, but nice getting a little different perspective, Jason. When we come back, we'll digest some of that. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
The Crude Life would like to welcome and invite each and every one of you to the Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, Nevada, February 7th and 8th, 2024. Oil, gas, wind, solar, uranium, Bitcoin, sustainable solutions, and much, much more at this year's Energy Exposition happening in Las Vegas, February 7th and 8th. Folks, you don't want to miss the Crude Life Podcast Pool Party happening February 7th. It's the week before the Super Bowl, folks. The Energy Exposition. The Crude Life is all in 2024. For more information, check out energyexposition.com.